I'll be there this weekend.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Talking sports from the 12 minutes kicking off. Let me get JQ in here really quickly and make sure everything is good.
Yes, sir.
We are 1 week before Thanksgiving. A lot of things to be thankful for and a lot of fun things as well. But, it's going to be an interesting week. And, again, like I tell everybody, it feels like this year is flying by. But here we are.
Wow.
And I can't believe how fast we're going to be in December, so that's pretty nuts. But anyway, let's check with everyone. A lot of things. We got a jam-packed show tonight. Let's check in with the fellas. As always, want to throw the ball to JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I'm good. Got a big game tomorrow. Number one next weekend, Thanksgiving. So just brace myself. This is what we live for. Remember football, baby.
There it is. Rob Ford.
Hey, man. Ready to make it do what it do, Doc. Hey, let's get a party started.
Gary.
I'm ready. You know, 2/4 of asparagus today, and I'm feeling good.
Oh, gosh.
Hey,
I trained him well.
Gary, you
trained
are.
Him well.
You are officially, yes, you are. You did train him well, Rob, because he is becoming the new habitual line stepper. So Gary has taken the title for the habitual line stepper. All the junk he's been talking all week, you know. So now he has taken Robert's throne. JQ, me and you are aligned against Gary. I used to kind of be a little neutral, but now anything that Gary does, I'm all against Gary. So it's all good. Without further ado, if you want to call into the show, reach out to your boys. It's always been good fun. It's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on X. Rob, I got to call you because I did try to get to the account. There's a lot of things happening, so we'll talk about that offline to get us up to speed with that, too. I think it's going to another email. I got you for that. We'll get that squared away as well. But we are on X at 12 Minute Sports. And then obviously, if you follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man, or if you put 12 Minute Sports, you will find us in that arena as well. We post a lot of stuff. Predictions, we post draft stuff. Rob has been a great assessment. So again, a lot of ways to get in touch with your boys, and let's get the party started. So without further ado, yeah, let's kick it off right off the gate. We got to talk about this college football playoff picture and some major bowl predictions, if you will. So JQ, you want to get it started with that, sir? Let's get the party started.
No, that's my problem getting started on that.
Rob, it's all you, man.
The
nice assist.
All right. Well, here's the way I think the playoff picture is going to shake out when it's all said and done, right? So you got the Rose Bowl as one semifinal, and you got the Sugar Bowl as another semifinal. And I think Georgia's going to end up as the number one seed. I see them winning out. I think they beat Tennessee, obviously. I think they beat Georgia Tech, and I think they beat Alabama. So I think they're going to stay the number one seed. I think when it's all said and done, I think Michigan is going to be the number two seed. You know, I think they beat Maryland, and I think they beat Ohio State, and I think they beat Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, with or without Jim Harbaugh. Number three, Florida State. I don't know who Florida State played this weekend, but whoever they're playing, they're going to beat them. And then they're going to play.
Just like that. Just
they play
like that.
University
play,
of North
I'm
Carolina.
Looking at right now. Yeah, look at that. Good job. They play North Carolina.
I think it's North Alabama, I believe it is. Is it North Alabama? They're not playing North Carolina.
It's North Alabama.
Yeah, I knew it was somebody like that. That's why I said whoever they're playing. They're
gonna be. Oh, North
Alabama. They play Florida on the 25th, but that's funny.
Yeah,
North
so they're going to beat North Alabama. They're going to beat Florida. And, you know, if Louisville beats Miami this weekend, then Florida State will play Louisville for the ACC title. But obviously North Carolina and North Carolina State are both in contention for that position if Louisville loses. But regardless, Florida State's going to win out. And the number four seed, who I think is going to get into the playoffs, is Oregon. I think Oregon wins out. They beat Oregon State in the Civil War, and I think they beat Washington in the Pac-12 championship game in Las Vegas. And I think Oregon gets that number four seed. And that's kind of how I think the playoff is going to. So you have Georgia and Oregon in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. You have Michigan and Florida State at the Rose Bowl in California for the playoff there. So when you look at the other New Year's Six games, and so that would put Texas and Missouri in the Cotton Bowl. That would put Tulane and Penn State in the Peach Bowl here in Atlanta. That will put Louisville and Ohio State in the Orange Bowl, and that will put Washington and Alabama in the Fiesta Bowl. So that's kind of how the Robert Ford crystal ball looks as of today. It's always subject to change, though.
Where's Notre Dame at, Rob?
Not no New Year's Six.
I'm joking.
Well, if Oregon can, I think Oregon's toughest game is going to be in this scenario against the Beavers.
Mm-hmm.
The Beavers are playing really good ball.
I think they're going to beat Washington. I'm spoiling my prediction, but I think they're going to beat Washington this weekend. Washington been playing on fire.
And Georgia being, you know, that defensive, you know, team, you know, college football. Well, Oregon, you know, they're the number one scoring team. You know, they're number two in passing, number 15 in rushing, 540 yards a game, one in third downs, number one in, you know, allowing sacks, so sacks allowed, so I'd like to see that matchup. I'd like to see if Oregon can actually go up against a team like Georgia. That would be a huge test for them. As a betting man, I don't think I would pick them, but I'd be rooting for them. But I think they could give them a good fight in that scenario.
Hey, Dan Lanning, the head coach of Oregon, you know, he was the defense coordinator at Georgia, too. So,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. I do see the Buckeyes winning out. With what's going on with Harbaugh, you know, they're gonna lose to the Buckeyes, in my opinion. And you know, and you never know about that. You know, you never know about Alabama. You know, with Nick Saban and what he can put together with Georgia, Georgia will probably win out. But I think that's going to be. That Alabama game is going to be one hell of a game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm just going to abstain. I see where you are, Ron. Okay. I was over here talking about, you know, how LSU had all the players and back in the damn defense. It was with me, and then you would come over here and pick Michigan. Okay. No. I don't want an explanation. I see where you are. Okay. I honestly don't know. I think it's for me, honestly, I didn't do a ton of it because I was running around today. But there's so much still left to be had. I really think Georgia did not want to see Alabama make it out in the SEC West. I truly do. Alabama is peaking at the right time. Close to Nick Saban, but he has happened. We all, as Texas, kick dirt on them, and they quietly are just keep getting better and getting better. And I don't know. I really honestly didn't know. I was trying to figure out where to project them at, but I was like, I just don't honestly know. You know, how's the Michigan game? Listen, I would go pick the Buckeyes. But that's going to be a tough game in Ann Arbor. But that Georgia-Alabama game is a big, big deal. Because what do you do with Georgia if Alabama messes around and wins that game? Right? You put two of them in. What does that do to, you know, the loser Ohio State? What does it do to Washington and Oregon? Because I believe they're going to be in the collision course in Vegas for the Pac-12 championship. It's hard to beat a team a second time, especially when that first game was so close. It was different tough. So I'm just excited to see it. I honestly was dead saying that I don't have an idea. It's one of those years where it's so fluid with what's happening between all these teams, and they still have to play each other in those top six. I guess the top eight, if you include Alabama in that, then it's just wild. This is what they want. It's the last year for it, so I guess we got to enjoy it while it lasts. But next year won't even matter. They'll all be in.
Hey, JQ, I got a question for you. With this Georgia-Alabama matchup, if Alabama hands Georgia a loss, does that put Georgia out or just down two or three notches?
I think it just puts Georgia at four, personally. I don't think Georgia, having lost one game in the SEC championship game when they won the last two of them, they have the negative first loss in 3 years, given how Georgia's looked, I just don't think they can knock Georgia out. I don't.
Yeah. I think it depends, to be honest. And I think, and this is, hear me out here. I think it depends. I think if you're undefeated, you're going to be in the playoffs this year. There's no question about
right.
it. So in Gary's scenario of Alabama beating Georgia, so Alabama with only one loss will make the playoffs, right? They're going to get in the playoffs with one loss. The Big Ten champion, whether that's Ohio State or Michigan, they're going to get in, right? So that's two teams. If Florida State's undefeated, they're in, right? If the Pac-12 champion wins their conference, if Washington is undefeated and they win the Pac-12, or if Oregon or Washington wins the Pac-12 with one loss, I think they get in over a one-loss non-conference champion. So I think the only way a one-loss team gets in, and that could be Georgia, non-conference champion gets in is if we have a conference champion with two losses. I think that's the only way that they will get in on this particular year, in my opinion. The only way Georgia will get in this scenario is if Washington or Oregon wins the Pac-12 and they have two losses.
The only way that gets happens is to keep Georgia out. You talk about if Michigan, Ohio State winner wins out, they're in. If Alabama wins the SEC championship, they're in. So you can say what you want, but they're in. So that's two. But if you're Florida State, and nobody's really high on the ACC right now, because I was shocked when I saw the poll that Washington didn't leapfrog Florida State. Because we talk about, you know, strength of schedule and how Ohio State was above Georgia, and then Georgia jumping Ohio State. I was honestly really shocked that Washington didn't jump Florida State. So I would really like to see what happens if Georgia goes all this time, they lose to a top 10 team in Alabama in the SEC championship game in a really close game, and then you go back and you really look at that Florida State schedule, even if they went out against a Louisville team that nobody's really going to give a lot of credit to, if that's who it happens to be, if we're being honest with ourselves. Because we talked about the ACC, is Florida State and everybody else. It'd be interesting. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but every year something crazy happens here at the end of November or in the championship game. So last year, Ohio State was out. And then TCU beat Kansas State, and then they slide in the back door without having gone to the championship game or winning it. So Georgia's a two-time champion going all the way through and having one loss to Alabama. I find it tough that they would keep Georgia out in that scenario, even against an unranked Florida State team, but an unranked Florida State team that has not played anybody for real. Who's Florida State beat?
Sure. Yeah.
They don't admit anybody.
You know, And I agree with you. Washington, when you look at their resume, they've got three top 25 wins on their resume. Florida State only has one on their current
right.
resume. So Florida State obviously was beating Louisville in the best-case scenario for Florida State is for Louisville to win out here in their last two games against Miami and Kentucky, and you're possibly going to be the top 10 team. I still think they're in if they're undefeated. They're not going to keep a undefeated team from a Power Five conference out this year. So I think Florida State will be in, and I think the Big Ten champion will be in as undefeated, right? And then, you know, Georgia still has a real good chance. And I think another sleeper here, we got to remember, if Texas wins the Big 12, they only have one loss. And they beat Alabama in Alabama. And they have three
yeah.
top 25 wins as well. So I just don't – I think this could be a real tough year for a one-loss
yeah.
non-conference – oh, I keep saying non-conference – the one-loss non-conference
That's what you mean. Yeah.
To get in this year. I think it's going to have to, like you said, JQ, it's going to have to be a lot of crazy things to happen. A couple crazy things to happen for a one-loss Georgia team that doesn't win their conference title to get in, or one-loss Michigan, Ohio State team. It can very well happen. I just think Texas is going to have to lose another game. I think either Oregon or Washington is going to have to win the Pac-12 with two losses for a one-loss Georgia team to get in or a one-loss Ohio State and Michigan to get in.
No, I think I don't disagree with that. I think Ohio State and Michigan need some chaos for it to happen. But is
mm-hmm.
Georgia, with the one loss in 3 years as the two-time defending champ, with the now the schedule they are going to amass here in the last month, you know, last 4 or 5 weeks, where you keep them out, unless they just look bad or somebody gets hurt, right? So it's wild. That's why I was like, when you put that topic there, it's a great fodder for conversation. But it never fails, right, that we get some level of wildness in these last couple of weeks mm-hmm. in the schedule between the rivalry games and the championship games, where things we thought were going to happen don't happen. But this is also
yep.
why they extended the championship to more teams who don't have to go through this. So we'll see.
Yep. Absolutely. It's going to be real interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That's tough, Georgia. But
yeah,
you got to win them all. If you want to get in, you got to win them all. It's the bottom line.
Yeah. yeah. Like I say, the question is, do you put Georgia over undefeated Florida State if they have one loss? I don't think you do. Do you put them over undefeated Michigan or Ohio State? I don't think you do.
Yeah, no, it's not Ohio State, Michigan. I don't think it's Ohio State, Michigan. I think it's undefeated Florida State is where it comes down to, because Florida
mm-hmm.
State's resume is not going to hold water to everybody else's, even though they're undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
They treat
yeah.
them like a power six kind of, you know what I'm saying, like a 9-5 team. Like, I didn't play nobody yet. Like, we know that y'all, in theory, with Jordan Travis and Keon Cole, like, we know that you're good, but, like, you haven't really been tested. You got tested a little bit in Miami, and I don't care what nobody says. That was a goddamn safety on Jordan Travis. They got away with one, and I don't know how that changes that game, if it does. But it's going to be interesting. We'll see. Like, the committee has done wild stuff before.
Somebody's getting paid. We're still on topic number one, America.
Sorry.
Michigan and Ohio State make the playoffs. Go ahead, JT. Okay.
I don't think so. And I think it's just an extension of the conversation we just had. I think
yeah.
the winner, you know, barring them going to the Big Ten Championship game in Indianapolis and stubbing their toe against a Iowa team that can't put more than 13 points on the board on a good day, the winner of that game probably is in. The loser, it's the same thing as last year. They're going to need chaos. Ohio State was out, and they got chaos, and they got back in because of the chaos. So right as of right now, given what we just talked about with the Texas and Alabama sitting right there and the Washington and the Oregon sitting right there, they almost need one of them to stub their toe in the last week and then somebody else to come back and win a game they shouldn't win in the contraception game for both of them to win, to get in. So I'm going to say no, just given where we are in the standings right now.
And I'm here now. So you can let me in there. Let me in Zoom, please.
I just saw you pop in. That's one of me, Glenn. Okay. All right. So so interesting as far as, you know, we can talk about the top teams. We can kind of dive in that too. I know we got a lot of things. We're jam packed here, and then, you know, we got to talk about what's happening with the with JQ's favorite school, Michigan, Jim Harbaugh. You know, there's a lot of things. We can kind of speed this up so we need to talk about this really quickly. So, top 10 teams, go ahead, man. Let's kick this off. Knock it out.
Who's kicking?
I think if Harbaugh loses to the Buckeyes with all the other distractions and stuff that are going on, I think he'll be out at the end of the year.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah. Nah, he's still thin, JQ, and nothing going to get him out the way. He's brilliant.
Think about what
he's
the only way he leaves is he goes to the NFL because he gets a job offer. If he doesn't get an NFL job offer, what was Michigan doing before he got there? And even probably because he was still in size. But in his last 3 years, they've made the college football playoffs. They've beaten Ohio State two of the past years. But if you fire him, who do you go get? Right, and it's got to be like you got to have a succession plan in place. Don't get mad and fire him and do something crazy, and then get Brady Hoke back in there so I can dance, and then we can go back to winning 5-6 games in a row. Like, you can't do that. You can't get so out.
That's Miles available. He's in Michigan alone.
Stop that shit. The problem, the issue is, and I hate it, is that it galvanizes that locker room. It's us against the world, and that's the problem.
Yep.
Penn State ran into it. And they're all sitting there talking about bet, and getting fired up for it. So you also have the opposite effect of what you want is that, oh, they don't think that we can win without stealing signs. And if you, I don't care who you are coaching that team with the talent that they still have, you can go in there and say, they only think you're here because you stole signs. And now you can get everybody galvanized around this one idea, and now you have everybody's attention. And that's the issue with everybody that has to play Michigan moving forward, is that they're giving them something to rally around. They don't have any distractions. It's not a distraction for them. It's a distraction for us. If you're doing it right in that Michigan locker room, they don't believe in us. They think we're cheaters. They think we can't win without that. Let's go show them. And that's all you got to say. And these dudes are ready to go run through a wall for you. So it's like, be careful what you wish for. When you say stuff like that, now you're giving them a reason to go play even harder because you feel like the whole world is against you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think the only way Jim Harbaugh is not with Michigan is if he gets the NFL offer that's just too good for him to refuse, which is possible, right? He was a fairly good NFL coach. He took a team to the Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick at quarterback. They lost to the Ravens in the 2013 Super Bowl, so it's very well possible. But Michigan's not going to fire him. That's not going to happen, right? Seems like Michigan is standing by him on this particular situation. He's brought a lot of spotlight to the program. And, I think the only way he leaves, if he gets a big-time offer from maybe a team like the Chicago Bears, which possibly could have a job opening. Los Angeles Chargers could have an opening. With Justin Herbert at the quarterback position. So, I mean, that's going to be attractive to a lot of people, right?
New England Patriots.
Yeah, New England Patriots could be another one. You know, big-time franchise, a lot of history here in the last 20, 25 years. So, I mean, it very well could be that he could get an offer to go coach in the NFL. But I think that's the only way he leaves Michigan in this particular situation.
I'm going to transition. We're going to talk about really quickly Zion Grady. He signed with a really big 2025 commit from Alabama, which is pretty significant about him. All right, and I know we can talk about the season. You know, he had a lot of offers from, you know, Auburn, Georgia, Florida State, LSU. And he gets that. I think Alabama gets him because, you know, they're like, hey, you're going to be just like Will Anderson. This is kind of that role. And he got excited about the opportunity. So this is a good, really big get for Alabama, Rob. I don't know if you can talk about that as well, too, man. So, 4-star edge, Zion Grady gets signed by Alabama.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, obviously, just coming out of high school, he's 220 pounds. So, similar to what Will Anderson came out of high school and bulked up. So, You know, obviously, Nick Saban, even in his early 70s, is still a heck of a recruiter. And plus, he's an Alabama kid. He's homegrown. And so, I mean, you know, it's probably an easy recruit for Alabama, Nick Saban there.
Yeah, I don't care where Nick Saban is. He's just a hell of a recruit. You know, he's just that guy that he knows what, apparently he knows what to say, and he's got the backing and the money to recruit these kids. And, I mean,
yeah,
there's nobody better in college football.
Well, I think
the pick, yep.
I think the one thing that Nick does very well, he paints a vision for all the players he recruits, and he goes in there and sells the vision to not only the player, but he sells it to their parents. And he goes in there and moves his hands when he's talking and doing all of that, and they're just so impressed with him when he comes in there with his game plan and his vision.
Not move his hands, Rob. Not move his hands. You done seen him in the process, Rob? You done seen this happen, man?
Oh, man, you watch Nick Saban when he interviews. I mean,
I'm totally messed up. I'm totally
better than anybody I know.
Well, Saban landed when I was on one of my road trips. We were in Alabama. I was talking with this guy, and his son played high school football, and Saban's helicopter landed right in the middle of their practice field.
Yeah.
Pulled this guy out and said, "Hey, I want to take you to dinner. I've already got a limo picking up your parents." He says, "Well, I don't have anything to wear." "Oh, we've already got a suit for you." Gets in it. He's got a custom tailored suit for him. Flies him to wherever they're having dinner, and he gets his guy. Well, gosh. That would probably persuade any of us. You know, that's impressive
true.
For some 17, 18-year-old kid.
Shut up. You had me at hello.
Yeah,
I'm right.
Yeah, well, and that's the point of it. Like, it feeds upon itself. Like, he is for sure a great recruiter. But when you have the success that he's had in terms of winning championships and the players he's turned out to in the NFL, that it was probably harder early on to get it to that point. But once you're at that point and you get that machine moving, it's lubed up. And it's like, I see what's happening. You're always in the conversation every year. I see what you're producing to the NFL. I see the rings and championships on the wall. So it gets to be, I don't think it gets to be easier, but it's not got to be where you have to go necessarily sell a kid, especially a kid from Alabama, whose parents either like Alabama or Auburn anyway. But they're sitting there watching every week like, this is Alabama football. This is what they do. He can just say, "Hey, this is the brand, and let's go. Let's keep it moving." And it's like I said, I don't want to minimize it, but when you have that level of success, and people see the fruits of that labor that you guys have put in, it's, you know, it just keep the wheels turning. So I'm not surprised about
right.
it. The Alabama kid staying in Alabama, like he would have to have a dad from Texas or California that was just like, "After him, I had to move here from the military or something, but I don't really care." But if that's an Alabama kid, that's an Alabama kid. He's going to Alabama or Auburn more than likely, unless they screw it up.
Yep.
Let's move forward, gentlemen. So we had a pretty big, you know, situation in which, you know, obviously we're going to talk about Texas A&M. I used to actually live in Bryan and College Station, which is huge Aggie country.
Man, you have lived everywhere.
My dad was a truck driver, so I definitely lived a lot of places. So we'll talk about that in my therapy session a little bit later about that. But, you know, regarding the situation that actually happened, so they make this move, and you alluded to it earlier, Rob. I mean, you don't fire somebody without a succession plan. So right now you're looking at, you know, we've heard some names, and, you know, again, you know, Dan Lanning has said, "I'm out," you know, Mike Eichel said, "I'm out," you know, from Duke. You know, you've heard some people saying that, you know, Deion Sanders, "I'm not interested." So who's the person that they have, Rob, that's kind of like, you know, you wouldn't have fired him if you didn't have somebody else, you know, kind of waiting in the wings, if you will, too? Or do you think that, too? So let's see what happens. And it's actually doing a good job. I mean, you know, that's the situation for sure. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Deion Sanders, and I don't think Texas A&M is going to grab the Deion Sanders. I think they probably want to see him have a little bit more success in the major college football area before I think he gets, you know, recruited to go to another school. I mean, they did put together an incremental improvement season, you know, going from one win to four wins at Colorado. But I think before Texas A&M or a bigger school comes calling for Deion, I think they're going to actually see them competing, you know, for a conference title or somewhere around 8 or 9 wins, right? Mike Norvell's name has come up. I just can't see him leaving Florida State. I mean, he's totally turned that program around. They're undefeated, I think, his third or fourth season. You mentioned Dan Lanning. I don't see him leaving Oregon either. Dabo Sweeney's name come up, even though they maybe have 2 down seasons by status. I don't think Dabo is the guy. Mike Elko, I know he's saying he's not interested, but he was a defensive coordinator at Texas A&M, and Texas A&M, from a football perspective, will be a huge upgrade over Duke. You know, is he the answer? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the guy I think could be the favorite is Lane Kiffin. I think he could be the guy that could be the favorite. You know, obviously he will get more out of Texas A&M than what he's going to get out of Ole Miss, right? From a talent perspective, a recruiting perspective, I mean, he's done a phenomenal job at Ole Miss, but for what he's doing from a coaching perspective and getting the players that he would at Texas A&M, I think that will be the guy you got to watch for Texas A&M to really go after and get. And in my opinion, he will probably be the favorite for that job.
He's the one that's going. And like you said, there's no way they pay that record amount of money on the buyout. Bet you don't have somebody already earmarked for it. I believe it's Lane Kiffin as well, unless Dan Lennon is trying to push up. I just don't see him leaving that Oregon money. I push back on the Deion piece only because if Shiloh and Shakur were leaving and said, hey, they had agreement that, hey, we're leaving, I don't care he's only got 4 wins, and we can talk about Deion not living up to it in his first year, given how they started out the gate. But for what he would do with that oil money, they would jump on him in a heartbeat if he could bring all those Denver boys to Texas A&M. But he's already said they're coming back, and I don't think they can move again as easily to Texas A&M in this offseason like they did from Jackson State to Colorado. So I think that's the piece of it, Deion out, but not because they don't think that he can make it happen. Because if you get Deion – the SEC back in and that oil money at Texas A&M and College Station, he would be gone. But I believe it's Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin is name recognition, innovative offensive mind. You give him the ability to recruit on the level that Texas A&M can recruit on, and that's the key to it. I just don't think that dude from Duke has enough name recognition. Texas A&M believes so hard in themselves that they are supposed to be in this upper tier of college football, then they're not going to go get an up-and-coming person from Duke. Even though as well as he's doing at Duke, they're not going to bank on that. Texas A&M wants to make a splash. Lane Kiffin is a splash move for them if they can't get Dan or get Deion. I just don't see them going to get the Duke coach that has Duke playing well and saying this is the guy we brought in to give Jimbo a $76 million payout. They want name. They want flash. They want to take over ESPN for 2 or 3 days. And Buddy from Duke doesn't move the needle. But Lane Kiffin, staying in the SEC West and going from Ole Miss to Texas A&M, as crazy as he is, with the ability to recruit and put an offensive juggernaut on the field, if you give him that kind of backing, I agree with you on that. I think that's the move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We play for wins.
That's massive. They would take over ESPN for a couple of days if they get Lane Kiffin. Because all the drama of them having to play each other every year and all he left us to go here and the storylines you're going to build up, that's what Texas A&M wants. They want to be the center of the universe. They believe they're supposed to be the center of the universe because they have so much money. That's what I'm saying. They're going to go get a name. It might not be a great name. I like Lane for them. And even if they hired a bad name, but they want name recognition. So I'm with you. I think it's Lane.
Yeah, they definitely wanted, especially with Texas and Oklahoma moving to the Big 12, moving to the SEC on next season. So they definitely want to make a statement with Texas coming to the SEC on next year. And the SEC is doing away with the 2 divisions starting next year, so they're going to 1 big division format too, one big conference format.
It's a good look for Texas A&M too, because you think about, I'm going to go back to Kevin Sumlin days, whatever he had a cooking too. So you know you have a good situation where you got to, I know that's shaking your head, man. But I'm saying there are some interesting situations, and where I can go back to Johnny Manziel and Money Many, but it's interesting from that perspective too. But
We talk about Texas A&M. We talk about, like you said, the oil money's there. I don't think Mike Norvell is the guy because, again, that's kind of a similar path to what happened to Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher came from Florida State. Maybe they don't want to kind of reduplicate that again. Like, you know what? We're not going to do that again because we saw how the disaster that was with Jimbo Fisher. So let's eliminate all of that. Get the name.
And Mike
Stane.
And Mike Stane's not big enough. Texas A&M is going to go try to go big. For all he's doing right now for Florida State, Mike Norvell's name doesn't ring like Lane Kiffin's name would ring just because of all the things Lane has been through, good or bad. But he's got a solid Q rating. If Texas A&M is talking about that Q rating right now, as well as they are talking about a good coach, they want both.
Yep. And everybody I know in Tampa said Lane Kiffin was a little brat, even as a little kid, and it was Monty Kiffin coaching in Tampa.
Of course he was.
Yeah, but look at that tree, man. He's coached the NFL. He's been a lot. He's been to like 20 colleges, it seems like. But that dude just keeps winning, man. So it's crazy.
Dude, he gets on the internet. He trolls Nick Saban before they play each other. Who has the balls to get on the internet and troll Nick Saban? Even win or lose, he's still gonna say, "Hey, I'm gonna take my best shot, and I'm gonna talk shit while I do it." That's what Texas A&M is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Let's get to these predictions really quickly. I'm going to fire these thoughts. Number 22, Utah, at number 17, Arizona.
Ooh. That's a good game.
I'm going with Arizona, man. They've been a big surprise this year. I mean, they're averaging over 156 yards rushing, close to 300 yards passing. Offensive line has been playing outstanding as well. They've been a big surprise in the Pac-12. I'm going to go with Arizona at home in Tucson.
I am as well, also for the same reason. But on top of that, also that's a tough back-to-back given how Arizona's playing. When you're Utah, you have to go toe-to-toe with Washington the previous week. And then you use a heartbreaker like that, and then they might be a little deflated. They're still kids. You're rolling into Tucson, Arizona feeling good about themselves, playing good ball. I'm going with Arizona.
I'm going with Utah. I think Utah's going to go in there and beat those kids.
It's a tough back-to-back. If they had to play Washington the week before, I might have. But when you go and you get so hyped up to play Washington and try to ruin their season, and you have that kind of close game and you lose it, it's hard sometimes to get these kids to get back up the next week because you got to remember they're still kids.
Yeah.
They're well coached.
Yeah.
They are.
Hey, number one, Georgia at number 18, Tennessee.
Stop it.
I'm just saying, you know, Tennessee's going to be like, yeah. Rocky Top. They can Rocky Top their ass right out. See, whatever.
I mean, if Missouri does that to Tennessee, what do you think Georgia does?
Missouri took Smokey to the woods and beat the you-know-what out of Mike.
Poor Smokey.
Same thing. Back-to-back weeks, right? That's a tough two-step.
Little rivalry game. Kansas State, number 21. Kansas State at number 25. Kansas, Rob.
Ooh.
I'm going Kansas State on the road in this one. I think it's going to be a close football game, competitive rivalry game. But I'm going to go Kansas State on the road. We don't know who's going to be a quarterback for Kansas in this game as well. I think that's going to be a factor. But I like Kansas State on the road.
Kansas State's been playing fantastic football, too. They've also got it on a roll. This is scary because now we're 3-for-3, me and Rob, so that means we definitely getting ready to lose. But I'm also going Kansas State as well in this game.
That's what I was going with, too, damn it. Now I know we're going to lose.
We all thought Cleveland and Baltimore was going to be a defensive slugfest. Then they both put up over 60 points.
Man, we thought it was going to be like 12, like 13 to 12 or something crazy 12, like 9. That. It was like 31. Like, we're like, what just happened?
I know.
Right.
Watson playing his ass off, man. Oh, my God. That was wow.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Let's keep it going. I'm sorry, last game here. This is a big game. I'm going to let Gary lead this one, Gary. You've got the number 5 Washington, at number 11 Oregon State, the Beavers. You were talking about them earlier.
You know what? I'm going with the Beavers at home. They're really good, and they're really good at home. But this is going to be this is going to be right down to the wire with this one. It's going to be one of these coin flip games. Maybe a turnover, special teams play, whatever it is. It's going to be something like that. So whoever wins that's going to be on the positive end of one of these types of plays.
I agree. Oregon State, man, you look at their track record and Jonathan Smith at home. They win big games at home. Ever going back to 2017, and Washington has really been playing with fire when you look at these last 2 weeks. The defense, even with Braylon Trice, and they got a couple of really good edge rushers, but their defense has really been struggling the last 2 weeks. And Oregon State will run it down your throat. DJ Uyagunrie, I don't know if I'm saying his name right. He's got 20 touchdowns, only 4 INTs this year. He's not turning the football over. He has shown improvement. Their offensive line has been outstanding as well. I think it's going to be a competitive football game, but I'm going to go Oregon State and the upset at home. I mean, they're playing a physical brand of football right now, and that is a tough place for them to go on the road to win.
I'm going to go Washington and Michael Penix Jr. He's trying to get that Heisman. They're trying to get him that Heisman. Like you just said, that Washington defense is underwhelmed a little bit, but they understand what's on the line. And sometimes it just happens that way. You have years where you don't necessarily win pretty, but as long as you keep winning, it's all that matters. I'm going to Washington, bro.
Yeah. Now, I'm going Washington as well. I want Washington to win, but
Michael Penix, he's going to do his thing, man. This is time. He's going to – like, who's the quarterback for Oregon State? Exactly.
We know we have seen suck in big games. I'm not going with DJ. I'm no big games, never.
I was kind of joking, but I was just like, yeah.
You know where I was headed with that.
I remember you saying the same thing about Bo Nix.
Yeah, and he also lost his own big game this year against Washington. So,
well.
Yeah. Well.
We're gonna have another shot at it.
We're gonna bounce around here. I do want to talk really quickly about how the 12-team playoff would look. You guys can kind of talk about that. So let's kind of get that going. I'm gonna do my top 5 teams, and then we'll kind of talk about some other stuff too. But go ahead with the quick thing for the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, right now you have number 9 Missouri at number 8 Alabama in the SEC matchup. Yep, with the winner playing another SEC team, Georgia. Number 12 Tulane at number 5 Michigan with the winner playing Washington. How about this? Civil War. Number 11 Oregon State at number 6 Oregon in the playoffs.
Ooh.
Woo. Wow.
So that would be interesting.
Would you take Oregon State? Would you take Oregon State, Gary?
Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't bet against them.
You a lie. Nope. You take Oregon every time. Go ahead, Rob.
I would definitely take Oregon in that matchup.
I've watched it for years, and I've watched them take Oregon right out of the playoff picture, and they just did that a few years ago. So that's
right. Oregon State.
There you go.
Thank you. You would do that shit this year. Okay, stop it. Go ahead, Rob. Tell me why.
Number 10 Louisville at number 7 Texas with the winner playing Ohio State. Yep,
I love that bracket
match.
Yeah, I love that bracket.
Yeah, you like that bracket, huh? Yeah, that would be a good bracket for Ohio State because then you
100%. Burn that goddamn Alabama matchup.
You get the winner of Texas Louisville, and you win that, you get the winner of Florida State Oregon.
That's tough though. Like, I'm not going to dissuade that one. That's tough to get to that point. I'd rather have that road than beat Georgia and have to play Alabama potentially again after the SEC title game, if it would match up like how it normally kind of does, given our OSU's both apart. So, yeah.
And yeah, you know, this, you know, we talk about this 12-team playoff format, but with these mega conferences coming forth, hey, we're going to need this 12-team playoff because these mega conferences, they're going to be beating up on each other, right? So you're going to need these 12-team playoffs going forward. It's not going to be the same where a lot of these teams are spread out in different conferences across the country. But when you look at where the Big Ten is and where the SEC is going to be going forward, I mean,
the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see on a regular basis, it's going to be a rarity for an undefeated team to come out of the Big Ten and SEC going forward. It's going to be a rarity.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see 1 and 2 lost teams winning the conference now just because of the schedule. I mean, when you look at the schedule these teams are going to be playing, it's going to be very, extremely hard to come out of those conferences undefeated. So the 12-team playoff, I mean, you could have a year where you have 2 road games against Michigan and Ohio State, but yet you win all the rest of your games, right? Or you can have 2 road games against Alabama and LSU, but yet you win the rest of your games, right? And you're gonna have this 12-team playoff is going to be needed for college football with these mega conferences.
You know what's crazy is that I was the one that wanted to only go to 6, but that's before the expansion that happened. It almost was like, these MFers knew. They are in cahoots. They 100% knew all this was happening, but when they did this a year or two in advance, they just were setting the stage for what we didn't know behind the scenes was happening. So I agree with that. Now that we have this expansion where where we aren't even having the divisions anymore. You just, hey, you're going to play a 9-team, you know, conference round robin across so many years. It's just my only thing about it is the pressure. I wonder if they put on the ACC, right? Because the Pac-12 is gone. I mean, I know with the ruling that Washington State and Oregon State got the rights to the Pac-12 this past week, but if you are the SEC in the Big Ten,
did they win that?
And now they did. They got some. They got the conference rights. But if you're the SEC in the Big Ten and now the Big 12, and you're looking at the ACC, if Clemson keeps nosediving and Miami don't pull it together, I'm going to say, I'm like, man, we got a raid done. Because they don't mess around and get some people, you know, the Louisville's of the world. If Louisville goes in there and they keep getting the ass whoops because they are just undeserving to be in there, but the ACC is a Power 5 conference and they got the seat at the table, if the other three conferences, I'd be looking like, we got to find a way to break them apart because this shit ain't cool. I'd rather have my second and third loss team, who's better than them, get in when they're getting in with 1 or 2 losses, but they're playing the NC State and the Wake Forces of the world, and they all suck. And it's Florida State and maybe Clemson here and there. Now, given what's happening with Dabo, if I'm the SEC and the Big Ten, especially, I'm sitting there like, this is some bullshit. We got to find a way to bring the ACC up.
Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer.
Hey.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
There'll be stuff to clean up. There'll be stuff to clean up and with that.
Yeah.
Yep. Just a matter of time.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Man, we're gonna talk about the top 5 teams. I do want to get to Deshaun, man. You know, because you know he had that great comeback against the Ravens, and you know that surprising loss, and he had the surgery right thereafter. So interesting from that. Really quickly, top 5 teams. I've got again, I'm gonna keep it pretty quick. I've got the Eagles 8-1. This is all subject. I've got Kansas City. I've got 72, Lions 72. Even though the Ravens lost to the Browns, I got them number at the fourth spot. And then you've got like 7-6-3 teams, right? So I just put the Browns there because they whipped up on the Ravens. But you got like 7 teams that are 6-3 right there too, which is crazy, if you will, too. So that's why I got the top 5 really quickly. So yeah.
Well, y'all not going to believe this with who I have in my top 5. I got the same 4 teams in your top 4, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions, Ravens. But I actually have the 49ers at number 5. Believe it or not.
You got to.
This guy. I hated to,
but I have the same 4, and I put the 49ers at 5.
I agree.
I mean,
I told you.
I thought you hated the
3 losses in the bye. I was like, they're going to go to Jacksonville and do something to the Jaguars. I told you. I know it's going to be that bad. But I had a feeling that was coming. Everybody, you know, put the dirt on them and said they weren't who we thought it was going to be. And they come off that box and they still go to Jacksonville and do some things to Jacksonville. So
But they also deserve the dirt that was on them. I mean, right before that bye week, teams are moving the ball on them at will. The Vikings moved the ball on them at will. Cincinnati moved the ball on them at will. And the backup quarterback, P.J. Walker, moved the ball on them, too. So they deserve some of that smoke that they were getting now. But that was the game when they went on the road and beat Jacksonville.
Jacksonville was still a division leader, and they put one on them in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Hey, man, don't be scared to pick your five teams. Pick who you think is really the good, best five teams.
I just thought you were like, Rob, I was like, why did Rob put that in there? Is he going to be pissed off? You know, I'm sure you hate saying that, man. That's what I was thinking, man.
All right, it's all good. Let's keep moving here. Let's talk about Deshaun, Rob. I know he has the – we talked about that, too, so we got some time to jump into that, too, as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when you look at the situation here, I mean, $234 million contract, and you talk about return on investment, ROI, right? And the Browns obviously are not getting it. And you almost have to wonder, will we ever see the Deshaun Watson of what we saw him in Houston again? Will we ever see that Deshaun Watson again? And I know, you know, in the NFL, you got to shoot your shot for quarterback. I mean, there were four teams that really going after Deshaun Watson. And Andre and I remember this. The Falcons were going after him. My Saints was going after him. Yep. The Carolina Panthers were all going after him. And, you know, and obviously from a franchise perspective.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. I mean,
they didn't want Deshaun in Atlanta. There was a lot of pushback. Yeah. They didn't want – and hindsight is 2020, right? We didn't want Lamar, which I thought was the biggest. I don't even know what the hell we're thinking now. You get everything that you get. Because now we suck ass.
What's the owner's name of the Cleveland Browns again? I'm drawing a blank on his name. I'm sure JQ knows it. The owner's name.
Haslam. Haslam.
Yeah. Haslam. That's them. But in all honesty, Deshaun Watson owns the Cleveland Browns until this contract is over. Because there's not a whole lot they can even do. When you look at this, depending on how you look at it, this is either the best trade or the worst trade ever, right? If you're a Houston Texans fan, you look at this as like the best trade of all time, right? For what they're getting in return. But from a Cleveland perspective, if I'm not mistaken, Houston is getting their first and fourth in this year's draft coming up. And
when
you look at it, this is a – they're still – and they're an ascending team right now in the league. And so, I mean, this Deshaun Watson is really – and even though they're 6-3 and playing incredible football on the defense side of football, I mean, they cannot go far in the playoffs with P.J. Walker at the quarterback position. They just can't, right? You know, they sneak into the 6-7, but – they're not going far. You're not going to win with P.J. Walker going to the playoffs. We haven't had
quarterback
win the Super Bowl since the Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson. You just don't see those type quarterbacks winning the Super Bowl anymore.
And, you know, a piece of that puzzle is the fact that he has all that guaranteed money. You got to do a whole lot of moving around and trying to convert things to signing bonuses, because how do you keep that defense together when you have to give him all that money over these couple of years and you have to part with those picks? So you can't get a whole lot of cheap labor coming out of the draft unless you hit on a lot of later round picks. And you can't, you know, I'm sorry, but those guys that are coming up on these rookie deals are going to outperform these contracts that come up. How do you find the money for everybody when Deshaun is going to take up so much of your cap space because it's all guaranteed? Like, I know they have typologists that work on these things and try to move it around, but that's the other side of that is, they have a fantastic defense. F them, but they have a fantastic defense. And you got to give them credit. But how do you keep them together to solve that problem? So I'm with you. I don't know if we'll ever see Deshaun be the Deshaun we saw at Houston. We were all like, it makes sense to go do that and make these moves. Especially for Cleveland, we talked about the jerseys with all the names down the back of all the quarterbacks. They try to draft and get it right. I understand why they try to jump off the ledge to go get a young guy who showed us that he thought we were going to move into the next next tier quarterbacking. But the way he's looked and now the injuries – but fuck Cleveland, so good.
Speaking of that, really quickly.
And me with the Cleveland Cavs hat on tonight, too.
Just saying.
Stuff, man. I'm going to quickly move to the hot seat. And, you know, we talked about some situations. You know, Brandon Staley, that seat's getting warmer by the minute. You know, he's probably going to be gone. And you got a talented quarterback in Justin Herbert, so that's the situation. Ron Rivera, the Commanders aren't doing any favors. They pretty much just got rid of all gutted his team. So the Commanders, and the interesting thing is they actually finally got a good quarterback in Sam Howell. Now they're going to be like, deuces, Rivera. Matt Eberflus, whatever his name is from the Bears, that dude is gone, man, just out of whatever. And it's funny whenever you look at that situation. I sent you guys a text as far as the Chicago Panthers drafted like all quarterbacks. Like you literally got to get it right, man. You're
going to hit on one of them, right?
You got to get it right.
That was like Cleveland back in the day. They didn't keep drafting quarterbacks. And then Frank Wright, man, is he on the list, man? That, you know, you talked about just the guy that's coming in and just like that's just terrible what's happening in the Panthers. And we thought that.
I think he's got to be on that list. Even as the one
year, man, because. You should have kept
the number one quarterback in the draft.
And he looked terrible because the number two quarterback in the draft is outplaying him by a lot.
And you're not seeing any progression, and that I think that's got to be on Frank Wright.
Absolutely.
And don't forget Robert Sass in New York. Don't forget about Robert Slade in New York. This is why I say him.
They may give a pass because of what happened to Aaron Rodgers, but I'm with you.
This is why I say that him. You can't get on the radio and plead the fifth about why you have to start Zach Wilson, and then you basically throw your GM and your owner under the bus like, well, we starting him. Well, I don't know, y'all. I plead the fifth about why we got to start him. So basically he got on there and said, the call came from above me to start Zach Wilson, and I don't have a choice in the matter to start Zach Wilson. If you're the head coach, you have to go on that story for your GM and your owner.
You got
to
own it.
On New York, yes, you can't get on New York radio and say, I plead the fifth. Well, wink, wink, you know I didn't make this goddamn decision. Because they probably was all sitting there like, oh, yeah? For real? That's what you going to say on the radio? Cool. We'll talk to the offseason. So you have to put him on that list. You can't do that. Even if you're right, you could still be wrong.
Somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got to just own it.
I don't want to talk about it, man, because you know what that
dude said. I plead the fifth on New York radio. No.
I love it. We're going to
So we were talking about Harbaugh earlier about if he left, it would be for an NFL job. I wouldn't want – because I thought he was a solid head coach in the NFL.
He was.
I want him to get Rivera another chance. I don't want him to go to the Reds or the Commanders. I don't want him – I wouldn't want Harbaugh to go to the Commanders.
I know you don't.
That would be another team that I think would spend the money to go get him, too.
100%.
I think they will be another team that was really
Eric
spend the money.
Like, what about me, guys? What about me? Eric Bieniemy will be sitting right there. Like, come on,
Eric
Bieniemy. The lack of disrespect.
He better hope he get a job like the Carolina Panthers. They ain't not gonna hire him in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion on tonight. Thank y'all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports. We're going to be back at you on next Wednesday night. Our East Coasters from Miami, Nassau, Bahamas. Man, Nassau, man. They got a lot of Miami Dolphins fans in Nassau, too. We want to hear from y'all in Nassau. 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Chicago, man. What y'all going to do, man? What y'all going to do with the head coach? What y'all going to do with the quarterback position? Y'all going to draft 10 quarterbacks in the draft? We want to hear from y'all, Chicago. 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on next week. And Utah, we want to hear from y'all next week, 9 p.m. Mountain Time. Gary picks y'all every week and then they lose. So, I mean, I don't know what y'all want to do.
There's a reason for that.
All right. In Hollywood, Los Angeles, man, the Clippers, man, what's going on, man? Y'all were 3-1 before y'all got a game card. Now y'all 3-7. Y'all 0-6 since you got the game talk. What y'all gonna do in Hollywood, LA? Wanna hear from y'all 8 p.m. Pacific time next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Listen, I just want the people to hear this. I'm gonna need Rudy Gobert to sock somebody right in the mouth. Like, Rudy Gobert is 7'1", 290 pounds, and people treat him like he is 6'1", and 150 pounds. Rudy Gobert gonna have to fight somebody. You just can't let Draymond Green just choke you and drag you down the goddamn court. Like, people go after Rudy Gobert like he's small. Like, go back and look at the clips of people challenging Rudy Gobert's manhood. I need somebody to go to Rudy and say, hey, bro, hey, next time somebody says something to you, I got your fine money. Just sock him straight in the mouth. I don't care if you get ejected. We're going to win this game without you. Hit him in the mouth and set a precedent that we're not going to let him come in here and do this stuff.
7'1". You 7'1", bro. Come on, man. What's the French toast?
This dude
Frank White
jumped up. And put you in a chokehold, and you just gonna let him do this, and then he gonna let you go, and you don't turn around and hit him with a two piece and a biscuit. Like, you got a swing on him. Like, you got a swing on him. And who else challenges him? How many times have you seen Rudy Gobert be challenged? He's like Dwight Howard. People just go after him. He has no respect. If I'm on the Minnesota team, bro, I got your fine. I would take you out to dinner. Hit the next MF for straight in the mouth.
Gone after him.
Right.
Nobody stepped up to help him.
So
we're not gonna. You know, he's from France. You know about France. You know, they pretty. You know, I don't know.
Listen, you better start thinking on somebody. If I'm Cat and I'm Anthony Edwards, I'm gonna take him and sign and say, hey man, you too big to let people punch you like that. Swing on somebody. Even if you get 3 games, we'll make this shit work for 3 games. But I need you to come out here and set a tone as our center and hit somebody in the back. Do it. That's why I'm not 7 foot. That's why I'm 5'6". Because I'm 7 foot, I'll punch somebody.
Suspension if he did that. That's probably a 20-game suspension or something.
So
not the first time
to the show tonight. We don't condone violence.
Shit me. Hey, if you put me in a chokehold,
hey,
I'm a swing on your ass.
You shit me.
You better hit somebody.
That's
we
part of the game.
We don't go about it. You shit me. Bloody JQ.
Shit me. You better spring on somebody and let them know that it's not what we're going to do. I'm 7 foot, 295 pounds. Come up here with that dumb shit if you want to. I'm going to swing on you. So, Rudy Gobert, if somebody listens to this, go tell Rudy to swing on somebody next time, and they'll stop this.
There was an interview with Jeezy and Nia Long. And they were talking about, if I got into a fight, she basically said, I'm going to take you back. You're going to fight every single person. That's what JQ said. You go, I'm fighting everybody. That was hilarious. Oh, man. Back to sports slightly. We're going to not have a pretty brief OC portion. I do want to ask, me too, are the as much as that hurt me to watch that damn game, are the Cardinals going to draft a quarterback next season? You know, so that's the question. What do you think about this?
They've done it before.
Yeah, they have done it before.
Kyler Murray's coming back.
Yeah. I think it depends on how Kyler Murray finishes this season. So I think this is an event. I think they realize they're not going to the playoffs, right? But I think it depends on how Kyler Murray finishes this year. I think in a perfect world, I think Arizona will – love for Kyler Murray to have a great ending to the season, and they're able to go after somebody like Marvin Harrison Jr., go and get them a weapon, or to get one of these elite offensive linemen that's in this draft here. So I think in a perfect world, that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping that they don't have to draft a quarterback.
I don't think they even have a plan.
Harrison.
I don't even think they have a plan going into these things. Into these drafts,
but
I can see see them drafting a quarterback, even if he does
they
well.
Give, Kyler an extension?
They did give him an extension last year. Yeah. So that's why they want him to succeed, and I think their vision is hoping. They're hoping that he has a successful season, the remainder of the season, so they can build around him, even with some offensive linemen or wide receiver, or maybe some more defensive help. In the first round. I think ultimately that's their goal. If they can somehow get Marvin Harrison Jr. and, Alu Fashanu from Penn State, his stock is rising quite a bit. He's going to be a top five offensive tackle. You get Drake May, Caleb Williams, and possibly J.J. McCarthy all going in the top five, top six, depending on Arizona. Things could shake out very well for them to get an elite offensive lineman, all Marvin Harrison Jr. at the wide receiver position, get Kyler Murray some
good
help
luck
there. So, yeah, yeah. And if somehow you miss out on Marvin Harrison Jr., this is a deep wide receiver class.
Yes, it is.
Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers from LSU is showing up to be that number two guy right now in the draft, the wide receiver position. You got Rome Odunze from Washington. So, I mean, they have an opportunity to really get some help for Kyler Murray if they still believe that Murray is that guy.
Is Keon Coleman Jr. is welcome for the state?
Oh, yeah. Keon Coleman Jr., too.
Yeah.
He's another guy that could very well be in the top 10.
Player.
6'4", good speed.
Absolutely. Good player. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I agree.
Great call.
The extension makes me believe that they want Kyler Murray to succeed. That's going to be too much money to eat. That's juxtaposed to Justin Fields because Chicago doesn't know yet, and they haven't had to make the decision yet to give Justin the big money. Arizona's giving Kyler that money, so I think they're going to do what they can to try to make that work for at least for another year or two. But like we said, they've done wilder things. But once he gets that extension, I think that kind of secured him for a year or two in Arizona. So I think he's okay. I agree with you, Rob. I think they might want to sit there and then try to trade down and accumulate some picks. You got Paris Johnson from Ohio State last year. You give him another offensive tackle.
Yep.
Now you book in him. They'll give him Kyler some time. Then Kyler's not a bad running back. And then you mess around and pick up a pick and get one of these wide receivers in the second or third round. You hit on these picks. You can find a way to get yourself back in the conversation in the NFL quickly.
Put it back in a running back.
So he's off. Yeah, so yeah. About to think about it. So, yeah, go ahead.
In my top 60, there's no running backs.
That's crazy, Rob. That's crazy.
No.
Yeah.
Blake,
wow.
I hate Blake Corum.
Blake
he's going to go in the top 60.
Blake
Corum
and Travion Henderson will probably be the top two running backs in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I have neither one of them in the top 60 right now. But, yeah, JQ's right. There will be the two guys that will be knocking on that door.
Yep.
Do you want to finish your shout-out to Rob, and then we do the predictions and wrap it up?
Let's see. Andre must have had a good week in fantasy.
I'm asking for a friend.
Uh-oh, I must be Marcy.
No.
Let's see.
No.
I say that because
I gotta live with that.
He did beat me. He did beat me pretty good in one of them games. So I said that of all weeks he wanted to do the fantasy shout out. All right.
We can do it every week. We can do it every week.
In fantasy basketball, Rick from Austin had the biggest win of the week, first place with an 8-1 win over Andre's team, triple double. JQ, man, his best record in fantasy basketball starting off kicking butt, 23-4, man, off to a real hot start. In our fantasy football league number one, Irv from right here in Atlanta, his team had the biggest win of the week, big, fast, and strong, 139.26.